time for a mission.
The snap. Winston sells the play action fake again. Looks sideline. Bay route toward the corner. End zone. Caught ball. Touchdown, Tampa Bay. Mike Evans takes it over the shoulder.
This is Monday's Buccaneers Total Access.
Fire the cannons.
Where each week we feature a different Buccaneers player. Brought to you by Florida Hospital, the exclusive hospital of the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. Join the conversation at hashtag CatchBucksFever. Here's your host, Bucs Insider, Casey Phillips.
What's going on, Tampa Bay? Thanks for spending your Monday afternoon with us here. We are so pumped to have Kendall Beckwith with us. How's it going, Kendall?
Going good. Going real good.
Yeah, so Monday, I know Mondays are always a little bit rougher after a loss, but you know what? I know that you have been off to just a great start in your career and as a rookie, and so much you've been able to accomplish already that people have been so impressed, not only coming off the ACL, but just in general. Even if that had never happened, you've come in here and just dominated as a rookie. So what would you say that you owe that kind of quick, fast start to?
Probably just my preparation. You know, I was, like you said, I was down with a knee injury, and I knew it was going to take a lot of hard work to get back. So, you know, I attacked my rehab every day. I mean, I had some great physical therapists and trainers along the way to help me out. And I knew when I got the opportunity to get on the field again that I was going to go full throttle and not look back.
Do you think it made you appreciate football even more?
Absolutely. Yes, yes. Just all that downtime you have and just – because, you know, with ACL, it's just kind of just week to week thing. You know, you get better and better, but it's just a slow process. So you just have all those times to reflect, you know, watch old film and see things that you can improve on. So, yeah, it's definitely made me appreciate it more.
Well, we're going to get to one of our first Twitter questions we have here from a fan. And just as a reminder, you can all send in your questions. Use that hashtag BucsRadio on Twitter. You can also submit them on the Bucs app under the feature section. And I'll give you the phone numbers one time here to call in. Hillsboro, 813-990-4620. Pinellas, 727-461-4620. And toll-free, 888-546-4620. Our first one came from John, and he said, how much has it helped having Quan here with your development as a player?
Oh, it helped out a lot. Probably like right after I was drafted, Quan was he was probably sending some notes over, giving me some things to study.
And oh, gosh.
Some plays to look at. So
you're like, bro, let me enjoy this for a day.
Yeah. So he like started like sending plays over like immediately. Like, look, start studying this, study that. And so it just kind of, it helps out a lot, you know, having somebody, you know, hear from, you know, someone that I've played with, you know, somebody I look at like a brother. So, you know, it definitely helps. And then you got guys like Levante. And so, I mean, having them two guys, you know, I mean, it's pretty special.
Yeah, that's got to be a huge help. And what were the things that he told you, you know, to work on, and the things that he knew about you, and what could really help you here?
Not so much just things. I mean, well, Quan, he always gives me tips. It was just the main thing with him was just studying the game and just really becoming a student of the game. You know, even way much more than what I was. So that was his main thing, you know, just, you know, learning everything and, you know, not messing up and, you know, just really being a student of the game, you know, just having an idea. He still to now, like, I mean, he asks me questions, like, we'll be in meetings and we'll be going over, you know, the team, our opponent, and he'll just check me just to make sure I'm paying attention. Like, he would ask me a question, like, oh, Beck, what they say, what's a big tendency when they're in this formation? And I have to, you know, I have to spit it out, you know, and he catches me off guard sometimes. But most of the time I get it right. But, yeah. I mean, that's just what type of person he is, you know, just very helpful, you know. And, I mean, I think I speak for the whole linebacker room when I say that, you know. It's just, I mean, we almost like family, you know. And, I mean, it's a pretty special room.
That's awesome. What's the penalty if you don't get it right? What happens?
Nothing. He just kind of get on me a little bit. He's like, man, come on now. You got to, like, you got to know that. Like, you got to know that's good. Like, that's some important stuff. Like, you need to know that.
That's awesome. Was he like this in college, too?
Yeah, he was. He was. You know, I remember from when I was a freshman, you know, coming into LSU, you know, he just, like, his main thing was just, you know, man, just learning your stuff, man. Just make sure you learn your, just learn your stuff and know what to do. I mean, that was like, so, yeah, he had been.
Did you know that he'd become the kind of NFL player he is now when you saw him at LSU?
Yeah, because, I mean, Quan always did have, like, he always been extra competitive. You know, he's always turnt, as we like to call it, or whatever. And so, I mean, it was kind of surprising, you know, the way he just, like, he went crazy, you know. But, I mean, it was kind of surprising, but, it, I mean, not really, you know, in a sense, if that makes sense, because just normal type of person he is, normal kind of drive he has to be the best, and, you know, so, I mean, yeah.
And what was it like, the transition of the roles that you guys played in college? Because you guys kind of reversed roles a little bit in terms of the positions.
See, I was the Mike in college, so I was playing Mike. Man, I never thought about that. But, yeah, I was playing Mike in college, and Guam was playing our Will position in college. So, I mean, it's different roles, but, I mean, you know, it's all football, and, you know, we enjoy having each other out there, you know. I mean, like I say, I'm blessed to be in the position that I'm in.
And how much did that help you, having played a different position in college, and then you did get called upon here when Quan and Levante were both down? I mean, you've had to play multiple positions already here as a rookie.
Yeah.
How helpful was that to have already essentially done the position switch in some ways before you even got here?
It helps out a lot. You know, growing up, I mean, I've always played, like, multiple positions. Like, you know, I pretty much was a quarterback my whole life, and then I pretty much played quarterback and defensive end my whole life. And in high school, I probably played in about 2 games at linebacker, but I've always wanted to be a linebacker. So I got to LSU, and I guess I was kind of big. I was on the bigger side because, you know, he had guys like Quan, who's like 220-something. And
you're just,
you know,
tiny little thing.
Yeah. I mean, you know, it just has, you know, the smaller guys, you know, faster guys, you know. Not too much faster.
Oh, yeah.
But,
I want to get that straight.
Yeah. But, you know, and so they moved me. They moved me to defensive end. So I played defensive end my freshman year, and I didn't want to play defensive end. So I they gave me an opportunity to move back. And once they gave me that opportunity to move back to inside linebacker, I didn't look back, man. I took full advantage of it. So, I mean, the position thing, you know, I try to be as versatile as possible. Like, I hate the idea of, you know, just, oh, he's just a middle linebacker, just whatever, you know. I would rather have that thing behind me where I could play, you know, multiple positions, you know.
Why did you hate defensive end so much?
At that time, I don't know. It was just, I don't know. I really can't say.
Because
it's like D-line. I mean, it just seemed, I don't know. I mean,
what, you want the freedom in space?
I like the freedom.
Okay.
I like the freedom. I didn't like the idea of, like, having my hand in the dirt. You know, I just think of, like, big guys, you know, just always just, you know, just rushing the passer and, you know, not, I don't know.
I
just like the idea.
Not to get mad at you when they hear that impersonation.
Yeah, nah, I just like the idea. Like, I just like the idea of, you know, just standing up in the middle and, like, just
flying around.
Yeah. So I just like the freedom of stand. I would rather stand up.
Okay, there
Let's
we go.
Let's just leave it at that. Like, I would rather stand up than
that's fair.
Put my hand in the ground.
Yeah, that's fair. Okay. I mean, you came out with such a bang already as a rookie. You know, 14 tackles against the Patriots, like 12 of them solo. Like, I remember that game. Was that just crazy to you to not only have such a big game so early in your career, but for it to be against the Patriots? I mean, you're just barely in the league. You used to watch the Patriots, I'm sure, when you're in college and watching that. Was that weird for you?
It was definitely. I mean, you know, when I sit back and think about it, it is. But at that time, you know, I was just trying to make sure I got all the calls in and get everybody lined up, make sure everybody had the call, and, you know, just flying around and doing my job, making sure I was trying to do everything right. So, I mean, but now that I reflect on it, it is. It's kind of crazy, I guess. It's kind of.
And you
it's cool.
get thrown in there wearing the mic, you know, whenever
yeah, I had
it's
to,
against
yeah.
Tom Brady.
Yeah, I
like,
had the mic against Tom Brady, and you know, this man, I mean, how old is he?
40? Like,
40? Yeah, I mean, this man could be my father, you know, almost.
I hope you told him that before the game.
Almost,
that would have
helped. Almost could be my father. So, you know, you playing, you know, like I said, like in that time, you know, as the game was going on, I really didn't have time to think about that, but now, you know.
Next time, you know, you should mention that. I'm sure that'd be great for him to hear. Any other player like
that
that's significantly older, I'm sure if you just threw that in there, it might rattle him a little bit before the game.
Yeah, it might.
That's pretty great. So what are the moments that have been to you those I'm in the NFL now moments, whether it was at practice or in a game? Like, were there either certain plays where you realized how big and strong and fast people were, or just moments where you kind of looked around and thought, I've made it?
Well, the moment when I realized, like, you know, like, dang, I'm in the NFL now, it's probably kind of crazy. But, I mean, when I look around at practice, like during camp and OTAs and things like that, when I seen guys, like, have families, like, they have, like, full, you know, they got, like, kids. You know, they have, like, kids, their wives out there. So I'm like, man, these are grown men. So, like, when I stand up in the middle of a huddle, you know, giving the call, and I got, you know, Gerald McCoy looking at me, you know, waiting on me to give the call. You got, you know, guys like Devontae, and, you know, just guys who've been in the league a long time. You know, it just, that's when it kind of hit me. You know, I'm like, dang, like, I'm really telling these men what to do. Like, they, like, depended on me, and I'm like, I feel so young. But, you know, me as a man, you know, you just got to step up to the plate. You know, you can't let things like that get to you.
Do you feel like you so far have done a good job of that? I mean, that's a big load to put on you. Yeah. How would you evaluate yourself?
I mean, I think I've done a pretty good job so far. I just got to keep it going. You got to keep it going, you know, because can't slack up.
Can't slack up.
Can't slack up at
I
all.
Love it. All right. Well, we still got three more segments here coming up. Plenty of time for all of you to get your questions in. Use that hashtag Bucks Radio on Twitter. You can also submit them on the Bucks app under the feature section, and you can call in. So don't go anywhere. Buccaneers Total Access with Kendall Beckwith, brought to you by Florida Hospital, the exclusive hospital of the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. This is Buccaneers Radio.
Buccaneers Total Access continues, brought to you by Florida Hospital on 620 WDAE and 95.3 FM, home of the best Bucs coverage. Once again, your host, Bucs Insider, Casey Phillips.
Welcome back into Buccaneers Total Access with Kendall Beckwith, and we still have plenty of time to get to your questions. Send those in on Twitter using hashtag Bucks Radio, also on the Bucs app under the feature section, or give us a call. Obviously, the defense... Last game and the game before, I mean, there were just a few games recently that seemed like a big turnaround point for you guys in some ways, that it's gone a little bit. One game will be some struggles, and then you guys will kind of get it figured out. And we actually had a fan question along these lines. Brent wanted to know, what was the difference with the defense from the Buffalo game and yesterday's game? The D played really well yesterday. Do you agree with that?
Yeah, I think so. You know, you go into each game, you know, with I would say, like, with goals, you know, as a defense, you know. And, I mean, I don't know. I don't know what too much of, like, the difference was. I mean, it's all the same goals, you know. It's just all about being consistent, you know, just being consistent and, you know, just trying to do everything and eliminating mistakes and eliminating, you know, communication errors and things like that. You know, because most of the time when we give up plays, it's all of – I mean, it's all us, you know. It's not what the other team did. It's what we did.
Which has got to be kind of a reassuring thing in some ways, that you know you can fix it when it's on you a little bit more. That if you think that you're actually playing the best you can and you're still getting beat, then that's got to be kind of depressing.
That'd be pretty bad.
Right, but nah, so that's probably got to be a good thing for you guys to know.
When we turn on the tape, I mean, it's pretty much all us. You know, it's all our own doings, you know. So if we just... got to continue to work to fix those things, and, I mean, I think we'll be fine, you know.
What is the message from some of the veterans in the locker room in this time? And we actually had a question. Roy asked, who do you turn to for leadership in the locker room, and is there more than one leader in that way?
Oh, yeah, definitely. I mean, as far as me, I probably turn to, I mean, like I said, I got two, you know, great guys in my room, in Levante and Quan, so. I mean, any questions that I have or anything that's concerning me, I mean, not concerning me, but, you know, that I'm, you know, worried about, I mean, thinking about, you know, have on my mind, I mean, I turn to those guys. And but we got some great leaders, man. You got guys like Gerald, you know, Clinton McDonald. You know, Clinton is, it's a good person to, you know, listen to. You know, I mean, he got some wisdom.
Yeah, you were talking about those grown men earlier. Clinton definitely seems like one of those guys.
Yes, he definitely is. You know, even Rob. You know, Rob Ayers. I mean, it's just awesome. Some good guys.
Yeah, it's interesting what a mix you guys have on the defense of guys that have been in the league a long time and are those established vets, and then really young guys. It doesn't seem like there's as much even in the middle. It's like a lot of one or the other when you look in.
Yeah.
And especially in recent games, you know, and yesterday on the defense having to have in the corners, you know, some young guys step up like Javian Elliott and Ryan Smith. And, you know, back whenever Levante and Quan were hurt, you were having to get in there, Devontae Bond. So how interesting is that as a dynamic for you guys of having guys that have been in the league for a really long time and then a bunch of young guys all out there together? How do they kind of help you with that?
With, like, the vets.
Like, yeah, how do the vets help you guys out there when it's such a huge disparity
in
age?
You know, just basically, you know, they just tell us, you know, it's just, I mean, at the end of the day, it's football, you know. I mean, it's all, that's what the ball's down to. I mean, it's just football. You know, you don't have to try to do much more than, I mean, what your job requires. You know, just, you know, do your job. You know what to do. And, I mean, it's just like a confidence thing.
Mm-hmm.
You know, because I remember when Quan and Levante, you know, was down. You know, that's pretty much the thing. I mean, what they would do with me, you know, just trying to talk to them like, you know what to do. And, you know, just have fun, play ball, man, you know. Just, you know, just, and it kind of helped my confidence, you know. I'm like, yeah, I know what to do. So I'm going to go out here and I'm going to get the job done. Like, and I definitely, like, I didn't want to let those guys down, you know. You know, I mean, you have those guys like that play to, like, a certain standard, you know, who, you know, great players. I mean, you can't go out there and slack.
Yeah, that's really true. And, I mean, coming off of an ACL injury, that made it even harder. A lot of people wondered, you know, when you got drafted, of, man, like, we traded up to get a guy with a torn ACL.
Yeah, I won't disappoint. I won't disappoint. Yeah, it's a lot of questions and things like that. And that was just the one thing about, like, being injured. Like, that's my first time ever being injured, like, having a serious injury, like, in my life. So, but, you know, you just hear so much talk and just people saying this and that, and you just got to kind of take it, because, like, you can't go out and you can't go run a 40 and try to prove them wrong, or, you know, go do drills and show people you can move and all these different things. So I just had to sit back and just take it. And then, but like I say, once you get that opportunity again, it's game time.
So was that in your mind whenever you were out there playing?
Absolutely. Absolutely. Like, I had to sit back and, you know, take everything that people were saying about me, you know. So when I'm out there, I'm going to show him. I'm going to show him.
And how much did it mean to you to know what Jason Light and his team thought of you, to trust you in that way and to think highly enough of you that they trusted you to come back from the injury, to play at such a high level? And when, like I said, we had a couple really incredible linebackers already on the team.
Right.
For him to know that you were that big of a deal to be worth a draft pick when we already had guys like Levante Vaughn.
It means a lot. And like I say, you know, when you – got, you know, people like that, you know, willing to, you know, like, what, move up in the, I mean, you know, do that, what they did, you know, draft me in the spot where they drafted me, you know, I'm fully confident in myself, but, like, I didn't want to come in and disappoint, you know, but like I say, I'm fully confident in my ability, so I just know I had to come in and just play ball, you know, and do what I do. You know, and do it at a high level, because like you said, we got some great guys. We got two great guys in the room, so, you know, I knew what I had to do.
And
I was up for the challenge.
Yeah, I like it. I like it. And Scott had wanted to know if your knee had concerned you at all. Were you ever worried about it when you got back out there?
No. Once I got going, it was no looking back. I spent so much time trying to learn everything, you know, being a rookie, trying to learn the defense and things like that. So when I'm out there on the field, I don't really have time to, like, you know, sit back and, you know, try to worry about what my knee's doing. You know, it just got to go with me, you know, it got to go with me. And I got to fly around and try to make some plays. You know, that'd be the last thing on my mind, probably.
Yeah, you got a lot else to think about while you're out
there. I got a lot more to think about. I probably come back to the knee after practice and, you know, do some treatment and some things like that just to do that. But yeah, I don't have time to think about it at all.
We had another Twitter question asking if you had a rivalry with Hargraves because of Florida and LSU playing.
It was definitely something that was talked about amongst us. He just knew that they had it. And we went down there and we showed him, you know, what LSU football is about. But he was just so confident, because I wasn't even going to say anything to him, because, you know, I mean, you know, LSU was kind of, you know, down at the moment. But so he called me out in the locker room, like, Beck, you know what week it is? I'm like, yeah, I know, whatever. But, you know, boys, they went down there and they played
LSU.
They did the talking for me. So that following Monday, I came. That was the first person I was looking for.
Oh, yeah.
the first person. and I was looking. He knew what time it was.
Was he avoiding you a little bit because he knew?
Nah. He just kind of had to take it. He did. There's a lot of SEC guys in that locker room, you know, that I've been having a good time getting after, you know, like, you know, Channing Ward, Ole Miss guy. Who else?
So you enjoy the trash talk?
The
side
Auburn guys.
You know, yeah, all the Auburn people.
A couple of Auburn guys in there.
And Ayers with the Tennessee. And
yeah. Oh, yeah. We played them this year, too. Mm-hmm. So it'd be interesting.
What is it with LSU producing the type of defensive NFL prospects it does? Like, what is their system there?
I don't know. I mean, if you just look at the history, I mean, of LSU football, man, we've always, like, played some great defense, you know, just had some great defensive players, you know, come through. And I mean, it just haven't stopped. I mean, it's pretty impressive when you think about it.
And you were heavily recruited by a lot of different places.
Yeah.
So what was it about LSU that was the final verdict?
It's home. You know, why not? I just came to the conclusion when I was like, you know, like, why, like, how could I go off to another state, you know, with another team and try to win a championship? I mean, I would rather, you know, stay at home. I'm a guy, I'm from, born and raised in Louisiana. So, I mean, if I won a championship, I would have wanted it to be at LSU, you know, and I couldn't find a better reason to leave out of state. You know, I just couldn't do it.
Couldn't make yourself do it.
Couldn't make myself do it.
When you were getting recruited, I feel like it was right around the cusp of when guys were starting to do ridiculous commitment announcement, like videos or things. Was it right around then?
It was right about then.
So you didn't really do anything crazy?
No.
Do you feel like you would now or no? Now that it's like in full swing? No. You still are just like,
no, that whole recruiting thing is just, it can be a headache if you let it be. But I kind of kept it between LSU and Alabama the whole time through. I mean, I knew I was either going to one or the other. But I think I made a good decision. Although, I didn't beat them guys. But, if I had to do it again, I'd do it all again.
Well, that's probably good. Instead of sitting here like, oh, I wish I'd gone to Alabama, that'd be sad.
No, absolutely not.
We played them this week coming up,
so... This the year.
Are you going to stick with your no trash talk ahead of time strategy?
No,
you're going to trash talk now?
Nah, I'm not going to trash talk. Okay. I'm not going to trash talk. I didn't trash talk to Vernon. I didn't trash talk, you know, to Barbara and, you know, the Auburn guys, Lambert. So I'm not going
to
trash talk.
Sticking until wait to see I'm until wait. After.
I'm wait to see. But when we pull it off, because I'm going to speak it into existence.
Oh, okay. Speaking into existence.
Yeah,
here
so
it is.
When we pull it off. Oh, I'll be the hypest guy that Monday. Oh, my God.
Poor OJ's not going to know
what
hit him.
Oh, he's not going to know what hit him. Oh, my God. I might put some LSU stuff in his locker or something.
Ooh, maybe do we need a little wager here? Like, I have to wear your team stuff, you have to wear my team stuff? You're looking less confident about this game
right
now. I wish everyone could see the face you just made him going, oh, you thought about
how
to
put
that
on? Nah, we can do that. I got confidence in them guys. They've been balling, so.
I was saying, you don't have to trash talk, but you did have to put your money where your mouth is here. Are you willing to say we're going to make this bet now?
We can do that.
Okay.
We can do that. I don't mind.
And so when LSU wins, you're going to make OJ wear what your old jersey or something maybe?
No, just a hat, LSU t-shirt, LSU pants, LSU socks, LSU shoes.
just that.
You know, just the basics. nothing too crazy.
What would the crazy alternative be if that's just the basics?
Man, I don't know.
That's pretty
incredible. Try to dress him up in a uniform.
Oh, that would be pretty incredible, too.
Yeah.
And you have a brother at LSU as well, right?
Yeah, I have a little brother at LSU.
So the family tradition continues.
Yes, it does. It does.
And I had
an older brother go to – he went to Tulane. He played defensive end at Tulane. I went to LSU, and my little brother's going to LSU, so –
It's two out of the three telling him that. At least he still stayed around at home, too. And I know you definitely wanted to be close to home, partially because of the farm and your horses.
Yeah. Well, see, when people say farm, though, like I'd be like, nah, it's not a farm. It's not a farm.
Where do you keep the horses?
So I live where I live at. I mean, it's a country. I mean, it's a, you know, country area, you know, so it's like my home, like where I live at, it's probably like 50 acres, I think. They're like 50 acres, 40 mm-hmm. something, 50 acres or whatever. So it's just land, and it's family land. I mean, so we have land where I stay at, like up the street from my house, we have some land. So I keep two of them, like, up the street from my house, and we built, like, a barn or whatever. We just finished it this year. So I built, like, some stalls, keep two up there, and I keep one, like, by my house. Yeah. But it's not a farm. It's just a fence with, you know, with horses in it.
I think that's called a horse farm. I mean, I might be wrong here, but
I mean, there's only three horses. That's not that many.
But it's more than one.
I mean, when you say farm, I think about, like, you know, you got, like, pigs, chickens.
So
like
it's the different type of animal.
That's, yeah, like you got to have like a.
Is it just that you don't want to say that it was a farm? Is that what I feel like is happening?
Nah.
Because people are going to get this idea of you being like a little farmer?
Nah. Because, like, I would. I mean, one day I want to have a farm, but.
So then what would you have?
I just think when people,
farm?
Like, say, like, when people hear that I have horses, they just think, like, oh, he has, like, this big red barn and he has, like, cows.
Well, you
pigs
did just
and
tell
goats.
Us that you built a barn as well. Is it just not red? Is that the difference?
It's
too?
Not red.
It's not red.
It's
well, there we go.
Red.
Now it's not a farm because it's not a red barn. I mean, I'm glad we got down to the bottom of yeah. this. This is very serious journalism happening here. Where it's not a farm because it's not a red barn. So tell me where this love of horses came from.
I don't know. I was born like this, I think. I was just born like that because I literally, like since I could remember, like, I just always had, like, a crazy love.
But you didn't even horses. Have them when you were born. Like, it's not like you just were born into this family that had horses, right?
No. Like, my dad, he used to ride, like, my dad used to ride horses or whatever. But like, he never, like, owned, like, his own horse. Like, he used to always ride, like, his friend horses or whatever. But we would always be around them and whatever. So, all my dad friends has horses and things like that. So, once he saw, like, I liked them, that's when I finally got my first one. And I was probably, like, I don't know. I was young. Probably like 6 or 7, maybe. And, I mean, it's just been going on and on after that.
And you got your first one for Christmas, is that right?
Yes. That was the best Christmas ever. Like, I haven't had a Christmas better than that since, like, man, that was the best.
That's all. I mean, most people jokingly ask for a pony for Christmas, and you
yeah,
got one.
I got
one.
It. I got it.
That's pretty incredible.
Man, it was the best Christmas. Like, I probably, it was like when I woke up, like, my dad was like, you might need to go check outside. Something he said. No, when I woke up, I could hear, like, something outside, like, thumping. Like, as I'm opening up gifts, I can hear something, like, thumping and, like, moving around. But I'm not thinking, you know. They had, like, the horse trailer parked right on the side of our house. So, like, and I ran outside. And I think they had, like, a bow on, like, the trailer or whatever, like, or the horse or whatever. So I ran outside. I looked. I ran back inside, and I ran back outside again. I just remember running back and forth, running back and forth, running back and forth. Man, I was the happiest kid on this earth, probably.
That is so awesome. All right, we still have plenty more time here on Buccaneers Total Access with Kendall Beck with you. You can keep getting your questions in. Use that hashtag BucksRadio on Twitter. You can also submit them on the Bucks app under the feature section or give us a call in. I'll give you those numbers one more time. Hillsboro, 813-990-4620. Pinellas, 727-461-4620. And toll-free, 888-546-4620. Buccaneers Total Access with Kendall Beckwith, brought to you by Florida Hospital, the exclusive hospital of the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. Don't go anywhere. This is Buccaneers Radio.
Now more on Buccaneers Total Access, brought to you by Florida Hospital on 620 WDAE and 95.3 FM, home of the best Bucs coverage.
Welcome back into Buccaneers Total Access with Kendall Beckwith. You can keep getting in those questions for us. Hashtag Bucks Radio on Twitter. Also on the Bucks app under the feature section or give us a call in. This isn't a question, but we just love letting you know when the fans are showing you some love. Chris said, Kendall, I think we have the three best triple threat linebackers in the whole league, so I am thrilled you're here. Already, there's a lot of fan love for you in Tampa. Has that been pretty cool for you to see and hear?
It is.
There is.
Oh, my God.
People love you, Kendall. Look at you. You're so happy.
Oh, no. Nah, I mean, that's pretty big. I mean, I soak it all up, and it only drives me, man. It only drives me, you know, to try to be the best that I could be each and every day.
That's pretty great. And we've been talking about your horses, which mm-hmm. is a huge part of your life. I know that this is
kids. They're my kids.
Your kids.
Yeah, my three kids.
Your three kids. I love this. So then, you know what? Tell me about your three kids.
I got three kids, so I have Vicky,
That's Vicky, an interesting horse name. Where did
Vicky Marie?
Oh,
is in the full name, Vicky Marie Beckwith. I have Coco Chanel Beckwith, and I have Gooch.
Oh my gosh!
But Gooch had his name before I got him, so I was just like, okay, you just keep that.
That's fine.
Yeah, just keep that.
That seems like it still fits pretty well.
Yeah.
And you said that you have those three. Did you get a fourth one, I think?
I had a fourth one, yeah. So Gooch and Vicky had a baby, but the baby, I ended up losing the baby.
Oh, no.
Yeah, he's about 6 months, but he's going to be a nice little fella.
A nice,
nice little fella.
So do you have the horses just to ride for fun?
Ride for fun. You know, I got friends that got horses, Yeah, so we have trail rides. We'll where I'm from, we can ride on the highway and stuff like that. So we'll take off riding on the highway and we'll ride all day. And man, yeah. So I mean,
did being close to them factor into which school you chose in college or not?
Yeah,
yeah,
yeah, yeah. It did. Probably. Yeah, it did. It definitely did, because at that time I had a horse who had just had a baby, and man, I wanted to see that baby grow up. So
you said, it's your kid, you know?
Yeah.
That's pretty great. All right. So serious question here. What smells worse, an NFL locker room or a horse barn? This is taking some thought, which is not saying a good thing about a locker room here. I feel like,
man,
if it's even
a locker
close.
Room could be bad, especially on the camp day, on a day like camp, like fall camp, a locker room could be pretty bad. Man, I'm going to have to go to the locker room. The locker room probably do.
You're about to go do a smell test over here. You think the locker room smells worse than a horse stable?
Yes.
That is saying something.
Yes. Maybe not. Nah, probably the horse stable.
Yeah.
That's my final answer.
Final answer. Although, obviously, it's close, which is, again,
yeah, it's
not
close.
Good.
It's kind of close.
So, do you think you're going to do something with horses whenever your football career is over?
I plan to. Yeah. I plan to do something with them. Just got to figure out what. Because, I mean, they nice, they cute and this and that, but they cost money to take care of. So
you got to figure out a way to make money to take care of them.
Yeah, I
got
to figure out a way to, you know, help them earn their keep a little more.
They've been skating by free.
They've been skating by. They eat.
Just like kids. They're back at home. They're grown up. You need them to start earning their own way here.
Yes, they've just been eating. They eat so good. And you know, they live the life. They got a good life.
And you miss that, I'm sure, whenever you're here.
Oh, yeah, I do. My dad and my uncle does a great job of, you know, taking care of them for me. So I'm not worried about them. And they send pictures and things like that.
It really is like your kids. They're like, look, they're walking today.
Yeah. So it's all good.
That's pretty awesome.
I've been around them so long. I mean, so some time away from them, it don't really bother me.
And would it be funny to think about bringing some of your teammates back to do that, like some guys that are just not used to riding horses at all? Have you ever done that, like teammates?
Yeah, I have. I had some teammates who I brought home and let them ride and things like that. And I just had some teammates that actually had horses. So, I mean, yeah, we used to do things like that all the time.
What do you feel like having horses did for you, either as a person or as a football player? I mean, that's a more unique thing. You don't hear about tons of football players growing up taking care of horses.
Yeah. I mean, it just kind of taught me, you know, how to be responsible, because, you know, as a kid, you know, and by me, I was like my other two brothers, they didn't really like horses the way I did. So I was kind of on my own, like taking care of them. I had to make sure, they're not going to eat if I don't feed them, and they're not going to get water as I put water out there. So, you know, it just taught me like a lot of responsibility, you know, just as a kid picking up on freaking 50-pound sacks of feed and 100-pound sacks of feed, you know. It was a lot of work, but it taught me like a lot of responsibility.
And I tweeted out the photo of the barn that you guys had someone come help you build, but you were talking about in the break how you actually built your own fence for them because nobody else
this
had done
this. This was way before the barn was even thought of. I always wanted to have a stable. And so when I got that opportunity, that's the first thing I did. I built a stable. But I was young. I'm probably about 12, 13, maybe. Wow. And, you know, I knew it was a piece of land that wasn't being used. I mean, it's family land, it's our land, but it wasn't being used. And I knew, it'd be good if I could, build a fence and get my horses up there to, you know, eat that extra grass and things like that. So, you know, I built the fence.
Just by yourself?
Yeah, I was literally by myself. Like, it took me like a week to build it, but I built a fence.
That's impressive. Is this, I mean, I feel like that probably also made you been pretty good football shape, having to do the work, like taking care of those
horses.
I would say they call it Farm Strong, but you said it wasn't a farm, so I guess I won't call it that.
So yeah, it's definitely like
Barn Strong.
Yeah, I mean, I guess, but yeah, it's, you got to be tough to deal with things. You get stepped on, you get kicked.
Just like a football game.
Bit, you know.
I hope that's not like a football game, but you never know.
Yeah, you never know.
Never know.
Got some guys out here that do some things. Yeah.
So, I mean, were you always a pretty big guy? I mean, you're big for a linebacker, were you always a big kid?
Everybody always says that, but like, I didn't realize it until like I got to college. You know, it's like, man, you big for like a linebacker. But I thought I was like perfect linebacker size, but I guess not. But yeah, I always have been like the bigger kid. And when I was a kid, like I used to have to, in like the little league, I used to have to take my birth certificate around.
Are you serious?
Yeah.
Because like, people thought you were too old?
Yeah, they thought I was too old.
Oh, my gosh.
They thought I was too old. So I used to have to, my mom used to have to always have my birth certificate, like, with her. But they always wanted to check it.
That's crazy. There, like, just demolishing kids.
I've been hit people and running through people and, you know.
Tell them, go pick up some 100-pound bags of feed, and then your kid will look like that, too.
Yeah, maybe so.
Were you playing other sports, too, or just football?
Yeah, so I don't think I've really ever been real good at is football. You know, I played basketball, but I played basketball like I played football.
So fouled just kinda, a lot.
I was just an enforcer.
Did you foul out most games?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, without a doubt. Baseball, I was terrible in baseball.
Terrible. Yeah, you don't have any reason to hit anybody there.
Yeah, I could not see the ball. I could not see that ball, like, to hit it. So I was pretty bad in baseball. And what other sport? Well, baseball, basketball, and football is pretty much all we had back where I'm from. So
it's pretty impressive. What were the big adjustments when? I mean, I imagine when you go from being the biggest, strongest, fastest kid, and then, you know, you go to somewhere like LSU, and then going to the NFL.
Oh, like, yeah. So let me tell you my first time. Like, so you go, like you said, like you go from, you know, high school where you, like, you know, you pretty much do what you want. I mean, you run through people, you know, you hit people, you know, you got pretty much always like the kind of the bigger one. But man, my first couple of practices at LSU, and I was playing linebacker, and we was doing this drill. It was like half line drill. It was like just coming up, taking on blocks and things like that. It was a center, a guard, and a tackle, and it had two linebackers in the drill, and quarterback and running back. And we had to go up, and like them freaking linemen was coming straight up on us, so we had to go up and like meet them and, you know, try to take on the block and shed the block. Man, I remember my first time doing that, and I forgot which lineman it was, but he came up and he like hit me, and I'm like, man, like, I don't know if I want to play linebacker anymore. I didn't know this is what you had to do like to be a linebacker. Like, God, so it happened like a couple more times, and then I realized like you got to be the aggressive one. You know, you got to
give the hit, not
take
the hit.
Yeah, you got to give the hit, not take it.
Seems like you've gotten pretty good at that now.
Yeah, that's my whole thing. You know, I'm not going to sit back and let nobody, you know, punch me first.
What are the aspects of your game that you still want to improve now that you've had some games in the NFL to see? You know, again, like you said, each time you change levels, it's a new level of adjustment. Yeah. So now that you've experienced, you know, almost half the season now, what are the things that you feel like now you have to do moving forward?
Just to continue to be a student of the game, and also just, you know, you never stop learning. You never stop learning. Like, it's always something new. I mean, that's what I really love about football, you know, because even people who's been in the league, you know, a long time, you know, they still, every day is something you can learn. I mean, something better that you could have done. So that's like the beauty of the game. I just want to continue to improve. You know, I just want to, you know, when I walk, like, one day, which seems like it's probably going to be a long time from now, but when I walk away from, like, the game of, like, football, like, I want to be able to say that I've pretty much done everything that I set out to do, and, you know, I left nothing, like, left nothing on the field, you know. So, I mean, so each and every day, I mean, I just want to come in and, you know, just continue to improve and, you know, just try to be better than I was the day before.
Yeah.
I mean, that's in all aspects of the game. You know, not just, you know, tackling and not just covering. You know, I just want to, each and every day, I want to get better at those specific things, you know, every day.
And for you, I heard that, is this true that the one NFL game you went to as a kid was a Bucs game?
Yes.
That's incredible. Why?
Yeah.
Why a Bucs game?
That was just the, I don't know. I have a uncle and an aunt who are like crazy Bucs fans. And what happened? I think it might have been a hurricane or something. Anyway, the Bucs had to come play the Saints in New Orleans.
Yeah, and you played at LSU.
Yeah.
There you go. That's pretty crazy.
Yeah.
The small world there. You end up playing at LSU, but your first game, it's the in this place that you played your college career, the team you would get drafted
yeah.
by plays that game, and that's your one and only NFL
yeah,
game you watched as a kid.
I went to a Tampa Bay Buccaneers and Saints game. Yes, that was my only NFL game I've ever been to in my life.
That's pretty crazy.
Yeah.
And there's a picture of you, I'll tweet it out after this,
yeah.
from your Instagram where you're in Bucs gear for that
Bucs
game,
gear.
Right?
Yeah.
That's awesome. It was meant to be. I love it.
It was meant to be.
Meant to be. We still have one more segment coming up here on Buccaneers Total Access with Kendall Beckwith. Get those final questions in, hashtag Bucs Radio on Twitter. Also the Bucs app under the feature section, and you can give us a call as well. One last break here, Buccaneers Total Access with Kendall Beckwith, brought to you by Florida Hospital, the exclusive hospital of the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. This is Buccaneers Radio.
You're listening to Buccaneers Total Access, brought to you by Florida Hospital on 620 WDAE and 95.3 FM, home of the best Bucs coverage.
All right, this is our final segment here, Buccaneers Total Access with Kendall Beckwith. Your last chance to get a couple of questions in. Use that hashtag Bucs Radio on Twitter. All right, so the Saints game coming up, and we just talked about before the break how your one and only NFL game you went to as a kid was Saints versus Bucs. At LSU, which is pretty crazy. And so now I'm assuming this is a game that maybe you're going to have some family at, some people, you
oh,
know?
Oh, yeah, definitely. It'll be a lot of family.
A lot of Beckwiths over there?
Yeah, definitely. It'll be crowded.
You're going to have your own little cheering section over there. That's
got to
be. Is this a particularly special game for you because of that?
You know, it's always, you know, pretty cool to go back to Louisiana, you know. So, I mean, I guess you could say that.
Did you grow up a Saints fan?
Not really.
Not really? Really?
Nah, not really. No. No, not really.
I'm surprised.
Yeah. They asked me the same question. Like, I took a visit there before the draft, and they asked me that. Coach Sean Payton, he asked me that, and I was like, to be honest with you, Coach, not really. Yeah, I was like, nah.
Do we now know why they didn't draft you?
Might be. That might be. I might have was too honest.
That was it.
I mean, it was the truth.
That's pretty funny. So I have to imagine, though, you do know a thing or two about watching Drew Brees play and
Absolutely.
A thing or two about the Saints. So this has got to be, a pretty tall task for you guys on the defense. What are the big things that you think that you guys are going to have to really focus on?
Lining up. It's just the basics, you know. It's not no secret, you know, formula or anything like that. I mean, it's just lining up. You know, every man being responsible for knowing their jobs and, you know, just communicating. And, you know, just lining up and, you know, playing football, man. I mean, it's not – I don't think we have to complicate it any more than that. You know, I mean, it's just – let's line up and do our job and just play good, great defense.
And for you, what are the challenges you know of when you – especially maybe like a middle linebacker type of a role against a veteran – quarterback like him? I mean, you got a little bit of a taste of it going against Tom Brady.
Yeah.
So for you guys as a linebacker group as a whole, and then what maybe Kwon is going to be asked to do when you have to go against a Drew Brees, for people who don't understand, what added elements are there to that that can complicate what you have to do?
I feel like it only can, I mean, I feel like it just complicated. It only complicated as much as you let it mm-hmm. complicated, because I mean, at the end of the day, I mean, you watch film, you have idea for what the things that he like to do, or you know, the offense likes to do. So, I mean, like I say, it's just only as complicated as you make it. I mean, it's not. I don't think it's no added, you know, pressure or anything like that. I mean, you just got to line up and know what you're doing, and you know, and perfect it.
I kind of expected Drew Brees to be maybe one of the quarterbacks you most looked forward to playing against being from Louisiana, but if you weren't really a Saints fan, are there other people in the league maybe that you're a little more starstruck by or really look forward to playing against now as a rookie?
Not really.
Look at you, just not starstruck at all.
Nah, I'm not really starstruck at all.
It's probably helpful.
Yeah, I'm not. I'm just not. I don't know. I kind of always have been like that, you know. Yeah, I just always have been like that because, I mean, at the end of the day, they're human and I'm human. And we just all playing the same game. It's neat, though, you know, because like you say, I mean, I remember the one Super Bowl I probably watched was probably the Saints, you know, when they won the Super Bowl. So, you know, when you line up across from a guy that has won the Super Bowl, you know, and, you know, a guy that had so much success in this league, I mean, I could see where, as to some, it could be nerve-wracking, but...
Not to you. You're just
me,
cool
nah.
as a cucumber
nah,
over here.
Nah, I try to be as calm. I try to be as calm as possible.
Having zen moments out there on the field. So you're kind of the opposite of Quan, where Quan is just like Mr. Hyped Up.
Yeah, Quan is the Mr. Hyped Up one. You know, I'm cool, you know, as cool as I can be.
That's and probably pretty good.
Yeah, I just try to, you know, I just never have been like an extra, you know, hype guy. I remember back in high school, you know, I used to have people come to me, like, after I would, like, make a big play or, like, run a touchdown and things like that. I hand the ball to the ref and I walk off the field. And, you know, they just get on me so bad about that.
So we can't expect any crazy touchdown celebrations from you if you get a pick six?
Maybe now.
Oh, maybe now.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
So you were like this back then, but now we're willing to be a little more crazy?
I might be a little bit more crazy.
Well, then I think that we need to see this week. I think that now that we've talked about this, we're going to need to see this week. A pick six in your home state here in front of all the family.
Yeah, I would have to come up with some crazy celebration or something, being that it'd be in my home state.
That'd be big.
Oh, my God.
I imagine you've pictured this, that this is like...
Absolutely.
The pick six in the NFL.
Absolutely.
That's the moment you picture?
Absolutely. Yes.
Were you picturing it happen in Louisiana?
Mm-hmm.
Maybe.
Maybe. Yeah, that'd be nice.
And, all right, we got tomorrow, Halloween. So, are you a Halloween person? Are you into dressing up?
I've never been a big Halloween person, but I might dress up tomorrow.
Yeah? As what?
I don't know yet.
So you put a lot of advanced thought.
Yeah, I haven't. I don't really know yet.
I like it.
I'm still working on that.
All right. Well, people can help out by tweeting in some ideas, see if we have anything for Kendall Beckwith. Well, Kendall, thank you so much for joining us. We really appreciate it. Good luck this weekend in your home state. Thanks to all of you for joining us here on a Monday afternoon. Buccaneers Total Access with Kendall Beckwith. Brought to you by Florida Hospital, the exclusive hospital of the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. Enjoy the rest of this week and that game on Sunday against the Saints. This is Buccaneers Radio.
Buccaneers Total Access has been brought to you by Florida Hospital, the exclusive hospital of the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. Join the conversation at hashtag CatchBucksFever. This is 620 WDAE St. Petersburg and 95.3 FM, home of the best Bucs coverage.